Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 234, part 1, Peace. Today is Friday, February 17th, 2012.
And today's tape is entitled Peace. In this day of hurry, worry, frustration, nervous breakdowns, in this world of guilt, in this world of hate, in this world of joyless, a lot of times unloving attitudes, and I'm thinking of our president right now, the attitudes that the people have towards him, or any president that's in trouble, I think we can measure right now, we are living in a very disturbed world. I mean, we have the whole of the world watching how we're treating our leader. I just hope and I believe that our president right now is going about it in a right way. Never meet the plots of your adversaries by counterplots. Hear all that noise out there? That's dogs. That's kind of like the world is right now. With the president, we're acting like hungry hounds. Nor should we then imitate the incessant violence. Just simply call on God. And I hope leaders all over will learn how to call on God. Don't let that get your attention. Whatever gets your attention gets you. He hath delivered my soul in peace, Psalm 55 and 18, from the battle that was against me. He hath delivered my soul, your very being, that part of you that was upset because of your adversaries. He has delivered your soul, and you're all going to fall into this sometime in your life when it seems like everything has turned against you, either in your own family or in a congregation or where you work or wherever. And that is the time that you must call upon the name of the Lord. And then he goes on, for many were with me. Now you keep quiet. And if our president keeps quiet and you and your own troubles keep quiet, you'll find out that there are a lot of people that are with you. Did you ever think of it that way? You preachers that are calling all the time and you're having problems. Oh, they're all against me. I'm having all of these problems. And it goes on, then it says, God shall hear and afflict them. In other words, when someone does something against you, or against a leader, that leader calls out to the Lord. Now, he doesn't fight it. He doesn't counterplot when there's a plot against him. If he just keeps quiet, God shall hear. And God hears all of the slander. God hears all of the backbiting. God hears all of that that the adversaries can do to you. And it says, God shall hear and afflict them. Well, it all goes back to whatsoever you sow, so shall you also reap. In the manner that you mete it out to others, so shall it be met out to you. But I think people like never before are needing peace. Now, you'll go to bed at night and you won't sleep all night, maybe. What do you really need? You need peace. How many have had those nights where they couldn't sleep because they didn't have any peace? Have you ever had a night like that where you just couldn't get your peace? So you got up and you shuffled around and you got yourself a cup of coffee and you made it worse. Maybe you turned on some dead old TV program and got your mind off it for a while, but you went back to bed and you still didn't have any peace. And what the world needs right now is a spiritual peace. See, that's what you're lacking. John 14 and 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now here we have Jesus about to die. To then depart from this world and ascend, it says, to the Father. And at this time, he makes his will. And in this blessed legacy, he leaves the faithful people. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. You want to have that peace? You can have it right now. Friday night I was ministering. I says, you know why people lose their peace? They really don't know what they want. Think about it. How many times are you upset because you really don't know what you want? So you lose your peace. Well, you don't want this. You think you want that. You might want that. And you never really know what you want until you don't have what you had. And that's what you wanted all the time. And I said, the only thing that I really want, and I found out through my life, and now I'm 54 years old, it took me that long to find out. The only thing I really need and I really want is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want more of Jesus. And that's the truth about everybody. They're searching all over and losing their peace, and all they really want more of Jesus, and they want more peace. How many in here want peace? Well, look at the hands back there. I think we have a lot of disturbed people in here. But see, really not. When you go ahead and you confess that, I need peace, call upon the name of the Lord, the Prince of all peace. But I think we can rest assured that he meant exactly what he said. It was delivered then in the presence of the 11 true apostles, who are the faithful and true witnesses. And of course, it's true that a testament is not in force when the testator lives, the will giver lives. But you see, Jesus Christ has died once and for all. Now, I have to minister this because a lot of people are losing their peace. But anyway, no one can dispute this legacy. The will is enforced because he died. Well, sometimes after people die, they will mess with the will. They'll disregard what the will says, and they can't do a thing about it because they're 6 feet under. Because he is unable to rise up out of the grave, he cannot demand that his will is fulfilled. But our Jesus died, and then he rose again. He rose again, and he made sure that the will was carried out. And so the donation that Jesus has left us is a peace. Do you wish peace for someone else? If you don't wish peace for someone else, you'll have no peace yourself. Do you wish well for someone else? If you wish not well for someone else, you lose your peace. Why is that? Have you run into that? Oh boy, I wish this would happen to that guy or that would happen to this. So on like that. I have it all the time. People don't always wish each other well. And what happens to these people is they lose their peace. I know a lot of times I could be robbed out of my peace. But sometimes people don't want you to have peace. They say, well, now you should be upset. Look at all these things that have turned against you. We're waiting for you to lose your peace. People like to see you lose your peace. Well, what are you so upset about? Why are you so mad? And then you lose more of your peace. And then you're liable to give them a knuckle sandwich or something, right? Am I making sense here? I think I am. This peace I give unto you. the peace that knowing that you're eternally saved no matter where you're at. That gives you peace. To turn to the promise of God, the eternal plan of God will give you peace. Don't let anyone disturb your peace. And I used to go into audiences where there would be people trying to have you to lose your peace. Or hound dogs trying to get you to lose your peace. Or people thinking, now what are you going to do in this situation? Aha, aha, aha. Don't lose your peace. Don't lose your, the world has it, they say scripture all the time. Don't lose your cool. Don't lose your peace. Years ago when I was a young man and I was in Golden Gloves, if you lost your peace in the ring, you were done for. You went in there and you started swinging real wild and I'm going to kill this guy. And you killed yourself. You lost your peace. And it's the same way walking here with the Lord. You can lose your peace temporarily. That's not to say that you don't have it. You have to call upon it. You have to remember the promise that you do have peace. How many know that's the truth? And you know how you experience that? How you experience that type of peace? By saying, Lord, I know you said I have it. You died and you bought it with your blood. You give me a peace that the world can't give. This peace I want. So that we have peace with one another. Don't be at war with any man, the Bible says. And so you have peace with your mind. Oh God, there's nothing worse than having no peace in your mind. I lay awake all night, tormented. A lot of times it's self-inflicted. Maybe someone has come to know Jesus and then something in their life isn't quite right. And so they think, oh, I failed God. No, you didn't fail God. You fail God when you don't say, Lord, give me peace. I have no peace. See, freely He will give you that peace. And then you have to grow into that type of believing. See, you don't want to believe it because you've attained. You've come to some plateau where you think, well, I've grown. Why am I like this? I have spiritual growth. I'm in high school. I'm in the second year of college. Spiritually speaking. The only thing that holds us back then is pride. And so our Savior here means the richest kind of peace. Peace with God. Peace with your conscience. Did you ever lay one on somebody? And you thought, well, why did I ever do that? Getting awful quiet on the radio. I know a lot of people are out there. Why did I do that? Why did I? Did you lose your peace? Are you still losing your peace because you lost your peace about a month ago with somebody? And you gave them a piece of your mind? What a nasty thing to give someone. No. Call upon the Lord and He'll give you your peace back. And so then, first, peace with God. He hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. He hath put away the wall which separated us from Jehovah, and now there is peace on earth, goodwill towards men. When sin, it's saying, is put away, God is at peace with us. Well, I got to put away some sin. Jesus put away your sin. Don't strive to put away your own sin. It'll make you sin all the more. Tomorrow, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to be a real good boy. No. Tomorrow I'm going to call upon the peace of the Lord. I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, without you I can do nothing. I can't even have peace without you, Lord. And so Jesus Christ has left us peace in our conscience. See, your conscience is always going to accuse you. And the devil is always going to use that conscience to get to you, the accuser of the brethren. And so peace with God then is a treaty. Peace in the conscience, the publication of it. Well, it even shows on you. Sometimes when I've totally lost my peace, someone will say, why do you still have peace in this situation? And I'll think, boy, their discernment is off. No, it's a peace that the Lord gives. I remember when I first got saved, I'd walk up to every evangelist and I'd say, pray for me. Oh, what do you need prayer for? Peace. God, I want peace. I am so upset. There's such a storm going on the inner person. I really need peace. And I found out that peace with God is the fountain. And peace with our conscience then would be the clear stream which issues from it. But I had to grow into that. And then we know it. And I finally came to a realization. I finally knew it. Have you come to that in something in your life where you know you're always battling it and then all of a sudden you know it? You just know you have peace with God? You just know that through Jesus Christ we have peace with God? And so first we have a secret groundwork. You don't always know what's going on. Secondly, it has a noble nature. And thirdly, it has blessed effects. And fourthly, its interruptions and its maintenance. And also, you who do not have peace with God will never have peace with yourself. Well, how do you get peace with God, you say? By believing that you have it. When you believe, now I'm going to say something here. If you can love yourself right in the middle of sin, that's how God loves you. Well, you're saying you're getting dangerous. You're going overboard. No. The blood of Jesus Christ washes you from all sin. I'm not giving you license to sin. I'm saying that's the way God loves you. God sees you as perfect and whole because the blood of Jesus Christ covers you. He doesn't see your sin nature. He sees Christ. He sees the blood. He sees the covering. Doesn't that bring you peace? Maybe you were meaner than hell when you got up this morning. Will that send you to the same place that you felt like? No. So number one then, the true Christian has a solid groundwork for peace with God and peace with his conscience. I can imagine right now our president suffering. And I thought to myself, he's made some right moves here. He has an admission. We all have to admit things, don't we? Don't you? How many in here have to admit things? See, it's not built on an imagination or a delusive dream of ignorance or any of that, but it's built on fact. It's built on positive truths. It's founded, it says in the Word of God, on the rock. And it says, and though the rains descend and the winds blow and the floods beat upon the house, it shall not fall because its foundation is secure. And so when a man has faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and its power, doesn't he have peace? While you listening on the radio are saying, I don't feel too good about myself. I just feel like a total wasted person. And I've lost all of my peace. Claim the blood. Stand on the promise. Say, oh God, I'm going to have to go on a promise here. But your blood has made me whole. And I'm going to stand on that until my, in faith believing, until my believing catches up and I start to trust in what I hear. It's like a little one who's going to jump from a burning building and you say over and over and over, jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you. Finally, he jumps and he's caught. He believed what he heard. And sometimes God has to talk over and over and over to us and coaches, I'm with you, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Doesn't that put that man's heart at ease, though? He says to himself, God says, he that believeth is justified. Yeah, but I just don't feel like I can say that right now. Because, see, I got so much wrong in my life. Well, you got one thing right in your life. You're born again. See, really, freedom in the gospel of Jesus Christ is really freedom. It's not something that you can take and explain to pieces. See, a lot of times we lose things in the definition of it. Simply saved eternally means, well, what does God mean when he says you are saved eternally? And there's all kinds of people fighting this. Do you believe in eternal salvation? Or what else is there to believe in? And even the people of the high faith, I mean, they're high in their faith. They think that they've stored up faith and they've been to every faith school. They get a little legal and they'll say, well, I don't believe in eternal security. There is nothing else that you can believe in. You start to doubt the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are certainly going to lose your peace. And you're going to be running to the altars, waddling your flesh up to the altars to get saved every other day. No one else would be able to make it up there. Everybody else would be so busy running up that the people won't be able to get in through this hog pile. Towards the milk of the word. They won't even be able to get in there to the mother milk. But all the Christians and all the legalists and all those people that can't believe and have lost their peace. Oh my God, they're dangerous. How can you go out and minister to someone if you don't have peace yourself? Not that you won't temporarily lose it once in a while. Moreover, it goes on, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. What does that mean? Why lose it in definition? Why try to explain it until you explain it away? See, when things are real simple and they're only one word, they've been boiled down and they boil down to the truth. You are saved. You don't have to add becauses and if and but and so on like that. Go into a whole lot of doctrinal dogma. But simply have peace and say, my God, I am saved. Oh, I'm glad that I am saved. Because look at the mess I'm in. Well, can you have peace like that? How many in here are glad they're saved? Well, if you're glad, you should have peace. And if you have peace, you know what else you should have that follows right along with it? Joy. Until I see people with a smile on their face, I mean not a continual wimp smile. I'm not talking about somebody walking around like a Chessie cat. You know, that kind of thing. Rubber band job with it tied up around their ears. I'm talking about joy. See, actually those two are interchangeable. When you have joy, you have... Do you ever have a good gut buster? I mean, you laugh until your sides hurt. And, oh my God, I can't laugh no more. Oh, just stop doing that. I can't... Oh. What is the end result of all that laughter? Peace. But did you ever try to laugh when you didn't have peace? We're going to arrest you. You have to be at the courthouse tomorrow morning. But I didn't do that. On a felony charge. Did you ever try to have peace then? You can have it. You can't have it, you listening in the prisons. You can have your peace. Jesus Christ says, accept me and I'll take away all the sin and all the guilt and all the frustration. I'll give you peace. Whew. Just take a deep breath right now. Go. Now before you do it again, say, Lord, give me peace. Lord, give me peace. You want it? The world would pay anything to have it right now. I know friends of mine that would pay anything to have peace. God, what a legacy. What a reward for receiving Jesus Christ, the foolishness of the gospel. Peace. Now, peace gives me a sense of pardon, which is more than a belief in Jesus Christ. It is then the cream of faith, that, let's say the ripe fruit of believing. It's a high and a special privilege which God gives after faith. And if I don't have the sense of pardon, I am still bound to believe, and then believing, I shall by and by advance to the seeing of that which I believed and hoped for. Stand on it. Stand on that thing and don't get mad at your adversaries and lose your peace. So many times in my particular ministry, and it's been a heavy ministry. I've worked with street people since I started 14 years ago. And so many times people have asked me this question. Why is it that you seem to have peace in this situation? Why don't you get mad? Well, I said, I found that getting mad and lashing out and counterplotting a plot will lose my peace. Right now, I really don't need to lose my peace and lay down my shield and all my armor and start flaying my arms about. I need to have my senses about me. You listening to this, preachers? Listen on the radio now. Anyway, I found out in my particular walk, and I think all will find out, that it says in the Bible, the Holy Spirit sometimes shed abroad in the believer's conscience that he is forgiven. I know that I am forgiven. And how is that done? By a move of the Holy Spirit within me. Something that I wasn't taught It was something that as I stood on the promise of God, and I said, Lord, I'm going to have peace in this matter. I'm not going to be disturbed in this matter. Help me with mine unbelief and being honest with God. Man, I thought, my conscience is clear. I am forgiven, and I knew it. It just happened. And so by this mysterious, the Bible says, agency, he fills the soul with the light of glory, and you just know. How many have come to that in some things in their life, and they just know it? You just know it. You can't be talked out of it. You know, really, when someone tries to talk you out of your salvation, they really don't believe they're saved themselves. They are selling what they've been sold. And see, we don't buy anything. Jesus gives you salvation. So don't buy what someone else gives you. What Jesus gives you is a faith, and Jesus gives you a pardon, and Jesus gives you forgiveness. And then someone comes along and says, how about buying this one? No, you see, I've already been bought with a price. And then you get to the point where if every false witness should rise up and tell you at that particular time, you're not saved. That your sins remain unforgiven. You know what you can do in the face of such things? Laugh. And you can tell people, he has made me worthy. I'm not worthy, I agree with you, but he has made me worthy. What's that song? How do I know the Bible tells me so? Well, sing that to him. How do I know the Bible tells me so?